Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. No phone number given today, no phone number accepted. Why? Because the phones are down. I kid you not. They're down. So no phone calls today. We are, of course, going to take your questions at the email. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. dave@petsofinancial.net. And, of course, you're going to hear throughout the program because the normal bumpers come in and go, Dave is taking calls right now, you know, with the big voice, right? No, I won't be. I won't be. Sorry about that. So don't try. No phone calls today, but we would love your emails, dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, I've been thinking about this. In fact, unfortunately, I was thinking about a lot of things at about 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. I am a great sleeper. So it was very unusual, probably because I played golf poorly, lost my match and shouldn't have, and affected my partner because of it and all that good stuff. That didn't help. But way beyond that, because that's completely unimportant, and anybody that plays golf knows that you don't make all your putts, things like that. I was thinking about how hard this is still. Because it's the dynamic has changed. For example, I talked a lot about this a month ago, 6 weeks ago, even now 2 months ago, of how hard it is dealing with privileged people getting in fights on golf courses. And understanding that that's just people in shutdown. And we can't really express it all the time. We can't really feel it all the time. But it pops out from time to time. And now, just as we're starting to open, our country has devolved into angry, race baiting. And it has become very polar again. Instead of pulling together, we're pulling apart. How does this affect your money? I think in every way possible. You see, it doesn't, you don't separate money from how you feel. If people feel confident and positive, they invest. They invest in businesses, they expand their business, they think forward, they have dreams, ambitions, and goals, including the idea that the United States of America, the great corporations of the world, are going to do well. I want to put my money alongside that. Or we hide it. We hide it at negative interest rates, really. After taxes, after inflation, you make less than zero. You lose money. That's fear. That's even angry. That's just the frustration of your life isn't right and our country isn't right. Everything's wrong. This isn't what I grew up with. See, I don't even know people that are racist. I really don't. I think I know this one guy that might be, kinda, because he's really inappropriate. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a huge problem here. But it is a huge problem when we go to the big cities. And I'm not here to argue because we all know they're all run by liberals and have been run into the ground for 50 years. But that's not going to change anything. It's not going to change the answers. I'm not here to make a case that the liberals have been race baiting for 50 years and done nothing about race relations. Nothing. They don't want them better. It serves them better to have everybody in serfdom. I'm not here to make that case. I'm here to make the case that we are affected by that when it comes to our investment decisions. In a world of 24/7 news, we can't get away from it. I mean, I just can't even fathom that people think that this is really a cool experiment going on in Seattle. But there are people I don't know why. Because I don't know what it is that would think that this could end good. How? How could this end good? But part of this is this lack of leadership. I don't understand. If you want to be the mayor of a big city, then you want to lead that city. You want to be a governor, you want to lead that state. Then lead. You don't just sit around. You can make a different decision. You know, I think it's just really cool that we're going to try this autonomous zone. Let's provide some porta potties and food for everybody so nobody goes hungry. And let people walk around with guns and police themselves. Nothing could go wrong there. That's a perfect circumstance for an experiment in the middle of a big city, I think. Now, if that's what you think, great. Stand for that. You don't police, then back off, then you come forward, then you back off. Well, I think we'll do that. I don't know. Let me test the political polls. Lead. Make a decision. What we saw in Minneapolis should teach all of us. Why are we asking leaders to just come and get along? They need to lead. By definition, when you lead, you don't please everybody ever. Ever. If you want to have anarchy in the streets, then just say it. I love it when they burn down the streets. It's fun. It's so fun to watch, and I just want the police to step aside. We'll pick up the debris later. Hopefully not too many people will die. That's what I stand for as the mayor of Minneapolis. Or do you stand for knock it off? You can't stand for both and wonder what the political winds will blow. And I think that lack of leadership, along with the fact that our country, just as we're trying to come out of this grotesque shutdown, this destroying business after business after business after business, permanently destroying them. Permanent unemployment for people that were very healthy employed is going to create a lot of anger. And we're just coming out of that. And we get into this racial tension. How can you possibly want to invest in the market? How can you possibly feel like our country with no leadership? And I'm going to throw Trump under the bus on this. Make the message clear. Don't just sit back and tweet, this has got to stop. That should stop. Let the troops in. Do that. Do what? Lead. This is the hardest thing. It's not going to be popular with everybody. But, A, you got to have empathy. We all do. This is a tough situation. But we need leadership, particularly these ridiculous mayors that don't make decisions in their own cities, but they ask to be elected to the leadership position. Why? Lead. Lead. And it pulls us out where we just don't want anything to do with investing. It feels tenuous. It feels like somebody's just going to pull the rug right out from under us. And I can't help but sometimes, unfortunately, be waking up at 3 a.m. and wonder about my kids, my grandkids, and my country and where it's going. If we have the wrong results in November, can we ever come back from packed courts and things like that? Can we? I'm not sure. Can you imagine a world without United States, with only China as a superpower? It doesn't sound good. It sounds like a terrible sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Everybody's watched closely. All their conversations are taped. The thought police come by. We've all seen a dozen of those. Feels like that. I would think if you live in China. It feels like that now. This is the world, and it's harsh, and it's tough to make investment decisions. I'm not here to be negative about this. I'm just telling you. This is what I think all of us have to deal with. As we plow forward, knowing with absolute certainty that things work out. They really do. We have to fight the good fight, absolutely. But the idea that these little six-block zones are going to pop up in every city, that's not true. Most people are not lunatics. And this never would have happened without the coronavirus, in my opinion. Bunch of people not working, getting checks from the government. What else are we going to do besides, you know, let it be fun. Let's go hang out, play some music, get high, and pretend to have our own country. Why not? Why not? Sounds like a groovy thing to do. Have we ever had this before? Yeah. Yeah, people dropped out of society in the 60s too. But this is more angry, and it's much more covered. We sometimes have to pull away. I've got this funny thing happening right now because I'm told the story. I have the world's worst internet, and I do. And so we're finally getting rid of it, and we forced ourselves to do it. So we disconnected the cable so that we could get, you know, so we had to start streaming things, right? Force us to get the new internet. So we have the new internet we could hook up, right? So I've got Sling, which with bad internet, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It won't work. It just spins, right? So it's only Netflix and rabbit ears. And so I really haven't even seen a picture, literally, of what's going on in Seattle. I'm going to have to Google it because it's weird. Weird enough that I'm curious. But the point is that I think I'm in a better place by not having all of this news all the time. It doesn't help. So, you know, it's a little more distant when you read about it, right, than you see it spinning in front of you all the time. Way different. Way different. We don't have a phone number here, so I'm not going to give it. But we do have email. Dave@petsofinancial.net. Dave@petsofinancial.net is how we'd love to hear from you today. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 5-8-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop. No phones today. It's Dave@petsofinancial.net. That's right. It's going to be me singing and dancing the entire time. Yay! All right. And I do appreciate it. We are getting some emails, and I do appreciate that. I'm going to get to those in one moment. In the second hour, I want to talk a lot about the know-it-alls, okay? They knew what coronavirus was going to do, how many people were going to die, and they used that to shut down the country. They knew how long the virus was going to be here, and it would take at least 18 months for a virus. Maybe we should shut down the country till then. They knew how the economy would recover or not recover, and the stock market would be in the tank forever. They knew that. And now they know again the resurgence is coming of the coronavirus and what that will do. They're very loud, they're very proud, and they've been very wrong. They don't say we're wrong and we should be careful about our next prediction. They just change the data set and tell everybody they have a new model. Their new target for the market is X, or how it's so overbought, it's ridiculous. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how it really leads us astray. The more we listen, the harder it is. I also want to talk about something real quick here that I think is so important. I'll probably bring it up again. We had a client this past week, have one that is really, God bless her soul, seriously, is probably not going to make it through this weekend. And so the family called up, is there anything that needs to happen? And I want to remind people that this is an incredibly important thing to do, to include your financial advisors, all your advisors, if these things are coming along, because there are some things that we can and need to do that post-death can't be done. But also the idea that you should do something that you heard from a friend can be devastating. We were fortunate that they called. And Tom did such a good job to just stop, literally go, wait a minute, hold on. What did you just say? And what had been said was they just did a quitclaim deed on the property, which means it won't get a stepped up basis upon this person's passing, precisely what she didn't want to have happen. And the family would have had to pay a lot of taxes because they didn't want to keep the house. They were going to sell it. It could have been, it would have been a very bad decision. And yet people do these things all the time. Yeah, my really smart neighbor said this is the way they did it to avoid probate. Okay. So avoiding probate, which is very nothing in Idaho. I mean, seriously, nothing in Idaho. It's not a complicated thing. And again, if I can just throw out a pitch here real quick. Hey, if you're estate planning, a real deal estate planning attorney, not a trust pimp attorney, says you need a trust, then have a trust. But the reality is many trusts are oversold. And we see it a lot. People that have nothing but maybe a house, that's it, a couple bank accounts, needing a trust when it's going all to the child. One child, two. Pretty clean. No need for a multi-$1,000 trust. Be careful. Be careful with information out there, okay? But you have to be aware that listening to your non-attorney neighbor, what they did, is not a good idea. Like about anything, okay? Except maybe the neighborhood. Or whatever area of expertise they really have. It might have worked for them, but in this case, it would have been tens of thousands of dollars of taxes unnecessarily. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. All right, let me quickly take an email here. We've got one from Fred. Fred, thank you so much. If Biden wins in December, no, November, excuse me. I don't know why I said December. You wrote November. There are a number of changes he promises under the Green New Deal. How will this impact the market, since it may make many materials less accessible and increase regulatory glue? Fred, it's all the way around. I have to tell you, I'm not going to push the panic button. I'm not going to sell everything if Joe Biden is elected or the polls shift. But I think people have to be in a very cautionary stance, particularly based on polling, if the Senate looks like we're going to lose the Senate. So if things continue on a negative track for Republicans towards November, and I don't think they will. I do not. I think Trump is in a slump right now. I think his general, what he wants to do is correct. Law and order is a good statement. Leave it alone. But whenever he tweets and gets into little pissing matches, with people that are irrelevant, he just looks tiny and stupid. And right now, the country is angry and wants peace. He doesn't look like the president for peace. He looks like the president for chaos. I'm hoping that somehow he gets that. And I believe he will. But I also believe that as we open up this country, people will find more peace internally and tune out some of the noise. I'm hopeful. But anyway, to the point, if Biden wins, it is an absolute, unmitigated, his list of promises are a disaster economically. They are absolutely a disaster. Corporate taxes get raised. You have to shave it automatically for that, 25% off the stock market, because that's how much profit's going to go away. The long-term consequences of higher regulations and higher taxes, I will start on in the next hour, I'm sure. You know them, and they're bad. All right, we got to take a quick break here for Fox News. Hour number two upcoming. Fred and everyone else, we'll look forward to more of your emails in the second hour. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. It is not this station, a broker-dealer, anybody else. And if we mention a stock positively or negatively, a sector, what have you. It has nothing to do with your portfolio. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. As a matter of fact, I believe that that is as far from good investment advice, management, thought as you can possibly get. It's literally, it's not entertainment, it's stupid. And so, yeah, I think it's really dumb that people would tune into stuff like that. I really do. It's not going to give you ideas of what to own. It's going to give you a lot of noise. You see, this is really the easiest thing, if you will. Just allow me to go back to basics just for a second. This is the hardest, easiest thing that there is in the whole world. If a cup of coffee a day for 40 years can get you $1 million, that's right, $150 a month for 40 years, $5 a day, is over $1 million. Not in Google, not in Apple, it would be $1 gazillion, right? This is the good, the bad, and the ugly called the S&P 500, companies that blow up and go out of business. JCPenney's was in there as a recent name. Sears. How about WorldCom and Enron? Hundreds of companies go away. New ones come up. Even with all of those that go away, and your level of management is zero. You don't have to do anything. You don't do anything. You simply say, oh, here's my cup of coffee a day. That's how easy this is. And that's without even increasing as your wages go up. That's how much you have to know about the beauty of capitalism. I hope you know more and teach others. But that's all you have to know. How hard is that? But do we teach it? No. No, we don't. We don't. Because then you would be independent, wouldn't you? We don't teach. Not all. Some teachers teach. But these are real life examples of how easy it is and how hard the media makes it sound and look. So I'm going to talk about that this hour. It's very important to understand that. This is a very easy thing to do. It's not complicated at all. Stay out of debt, save a little bit, leave it alone. Thanks for tuning in. That's really it. But no, we got to make it complicated. Here we go. Stocks plunge amid mounting worries over virus and the economy. Is that why stocks went down 1,800 points on Friday? Well, everybody said so. Remember the experts? The experts that 2 million people were going to die in the United States? I know, we bent the curve. We saved everybody. That's the whole reason. That's why. No. And then the models just kind of kept shifting. They weren't wrong. They were never wrong. And I'm expecting them to be. But when you stand up there and tell me, I know what the market's going to do. I know what the future's going to be. I know how many people, because we have models to prove it. You stand up there with confidence, and I've got so many letters behind my name, you can't believe how flippin' smart I am. I'm to be believed. Okay? And when you're wrong, well, we're not wrong. We're changing the models. And they just go on. And these are not little decisions. We base an entire, like, see that business over there? Boom, you're gone. Boom, you're gone. Millions of businesses gone. Trillions of dollars spent in debt for future generations. People that aren't even born yet. Hello, here you go. Welcome to the world. Here's another couple trillion you can't spend, by definition. Because we already spent it. Because we love our kids and grandkids so much. These are big decisions by powerful people that were wrong on an awful lot. So we hear about how the market's going to do something or not. It's never coming back. It's going to take 18 months. And I'm just telling you, it isn't going to take 18 months for a vaccine. It's certainly not therapeutics. Because we have 200 different trials going on right now. If companies are spending billions and billions and billions because they're so certain of the one they have. That's how certain they are. Not, well, let's just mix these two things together for what the heck, and then let's run some human trials. No, can't do it. We've never seen anything like this. And to assume then in a straight line, right? Straight linear. That's how we think. We got to think different. We got to think bigger than that. This isn't a linear problem. It's exponential. What I mean by that is with technology today, we can do so much more. What we did with viruses 10 years ago is ancient. It's completely irrelevant. Well, it always takes, 2 years to... No, that's fine. That's what it did take. It doesn't take that anymore. And a child understands that. But if you're trying to make a political point, you're trying to shut things down, you're trying to mess with people's heads, you're trying to get them to watch, because what does fear do? It makes your eyeballs watch. You want to try something? Try getting into a really intense situation and not overthinking it. You can't do it. You will overthink it. Always. The human brain just going... And it's saying, give me more data because I can't think. Give me more data. I can't think. And the more data you have, the more you can't think. It's completely opposite. Completely opposite. That's why when we have people who are cool in a really, really intense situation, their leadership is instantaneous. The whole world turns to them in the situation, right? It's the sergeant on the line. We're about to die. What do we do? Okay, here's what we do, boys. Here's what we do, Apollo 13. Here's what we do. Because they're cool. In a really intense situation. Very few human beings are. Now, we take this and we take this knowledge and then we pound it into our head. Hour by hour, 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 day after day after day after day. Doom and gloom, death, 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 death. And we think more clearly because we have more data? Are you crazy? It messes with your head. The only way you can do it is pulling away, look at things, and say, wait a minute, is the world the same as it was 10 years ago? No, it's not even close. Not with technology. They can take the virus, take it down to the DNA, and mix it up, figure out what hurts it, like instantly. Start building compounds around that. Not, well, let's go get another vial of blood and let's try. It's so fast. And then throw it in the supercomputers. And they're all working together collaboratively. We will solve this, is the point. I don't think that that's a great giant leap of faith. It's obvious that's happening. But we obviously, as humans, get so intense to that, don't we? And what happens is then we get reports out of the middle of where 27% of the entire U.S. population has died, and they're still in lockdown. Month after month after month after month, and they're still in lockdown. Unbelievable. No wonder these people are nuts. They are. So they're sitting in their basements. I know, they're fancy offices, whatever you want to call it. But they're sitting there. No human beings around. Maybe their family. And they're grandly telling us what? The market's overpriced. The market's overpriced. The market's overpriced for thousands of points. It's so far ahead of itself. So far ahead of itself. It's unbelievable. And then suddenly, this is out of the blue. I mean, because I'm sure you never heard this, never thought it through, never used any common sense. I was flabbergasted to find out suddenly on Thursday that the market knew something I didn't know. And that was that when people started getting together again, we would have a surge in coronavirus cases. I was just stunned. And I was, no wonder the market went down 1,800 points on that. Because that's just stunning news, isn't it? Nobody predicted that. How could you predict that? It's crazy. Unbelievable stuff. So these geniuses that have been telling us for thousands of points are right for the day. The market moves in anticipation of events. It moves for all kinds of reasons, sometimes wrong. And so when we turn around, and I have clients that do this from time to time, I have people that I know, the market's this or that, and you certainly have an endless parade of people to tell you on TV. And the more we listen, the less we learn. The more we listen, the less we know. That is really true. I know you don't believe it. It's okay. You get TVs running all the time. I got it. We need more data. You got it all figured out. You can handle it. It's the rest of the people that you're nodding your head about, not you. I hear this all the time. People are certain about I am certain about the market. Just absolutely certain that we're going to have a surge in corona cases, and I know they're going to surge. And the market's going to fall. Okay? Well, it did on Thursday. I'm sorry you made that prediction 6,000 points ago, but okay. It's all right. Here's the problem. How do you get back in? What do you put money in that has a return? A CD. Nope, negative returns. Real estate. Really? Okay. All right, because I'm sure there's a lot of good deals out there now, especially in commercial real estate, because, frankly, most everybody disagrees with you. Prices are still coming down. And if you want to buy a single-family house, we've already talked that to death and how that's just a job. So if you want to buy a job, go buy a job. Markets anticipate. They always have. But you also have to understand how flawed the experts are. Just like you and I. I started today's program talking about the psychology of all this. Of how difficult it is right now. And I mean, it's really hard. It is hard. We're all a little bit cranky. Even though here in Idaho we get to get out and about. Imagine if you don't. Like you see somebody tweet out, it was so nice to get a little sun today. What? Who doesn't get out on the sidewalk and get some sun? I think the sun is good to fight the corona too. Can you imagine how doom and gloom it is? And then when you have a media that hates Trump so much, it's their entire being is to hate Trump. They can't find a good thing in the world. Puppy dogs, sunshine, little girls laughing. They hate it. They hate that. Because it acts like there might be some happiness in the world. And that does not fit the narrative. Rioting in the streets. Looting. Leadership that doesn't lead. Begs you to vote for them, but then doesn't want the job. They just want to cut ribbons, I guess. Get a nice fat pension, have people pay them off on the side, get nice little free vacations. I don't know. But you have to lead when you ask to be the leader. And then we get into this and we have headline and excuse or reasoning after reasoning. Markets don't move like that. Like all of a sudden we woke up and went, we're really worried about the surge in coronavirus. Are you kidding me? You actually wrote that down? You actually think people are that feeble-minded? The answer is yes, they do. They absolutely do. They absolutely are certain you are that feeble-minded. They are. Why wouldn't they think you were? They're just writing down what somebody, they're parroting each other. There's never any, excuse me, I have another reason why the market went. No, everybody said the same thing. They parrot each other. It's groupthink all the time. And I know, you know what you and I do? We do groupthink. We have to work hard not to. It's hard not to. Because your friends, they think like you do. Your news sources think like you do. It's hard to find that outside intelligent thought that doesn't just make you so daggone mad that you shut it out. It's hard not to have groupthink. But when you're in New York, the hot spot of the world, the way they dealt with the coronavirus was off the charts stupid. Beyond belief. Beyond belief. Oh, you guys go to a movie, go to dinner, and then all of a sudden we're in meltdown. And they're sending corona patients to nursing homes. These people are off the rails, but they get apologized for by the media. Instead of we have to learn from it. I'm not throwing them under the bus. It was a terrible circumstance, but they're still in lockdown. And we're supposed to not have groupthink in lockdown of the end of the world? Of course they do, which is why they've missed this. The market's looking forward, not behind. Is it ahead of itself? Of course it is. It's always ahead of itself. It's ahead of itself on the way down. Look at real estate stocks as soon as it started to happen. You don't think 70% off of the mall operators didn't happen? I mean, that they suddenly had 70% less revenue? They didn't. But stock owners knew they would. So they killed them. Did they go too far? Of course. Maybe it's going to be more like 40% off. Who goes shopping in a pandemic with broke retailers that won't pay their bills? Markets move in both directions ahead. The economy will recover slowly. That's why stocks went up. But you're never going to have this. Well, so what do we do with that? Okay, I'll talk about that some more today. But here's the thing. I'll leave you with this thought. Leave it alone. You don't have to figure it out day to day. And the more you ignore this, the more you'll really get to understand. Okay, I lost 1,800 points on Thursday. Yeah, we got 500 back. Woo! We had a bad week after an amazing month. I could have done this, made this case, as everybody did in New York City and elsewhere, and that's where all the really smart money people live. Is New York. So I've been listening for a lot of groupthink because that really helps me. So I listened to a lot of groupthink and I've come away knowing for 10,000 points that I couldn't be in. But you made it for the day. That's what we miss. Is that this is the price you pay for the game that anybody can play because it requires almost no money to play. $50 a month, you're in. You can even invest nowadays with no cost. Ridiculous. And all you have to do is ignore this noise. But that's not what the media wants, because the media won't sell if you just aren't watching. Our email is dave@petzelfinancial.net. We'll be right back to take some of those questions. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, again, join us, if you would, on the email, okay? It's dave@petzelfinancial.net. If you've tried to call in today, ignore the big voice that says Dave is taking calls right now, because we're not. The phones are down. I know. It's a different ballgame. I know. It's totally different. Totally different. All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to start taking some emails here, and we're going to start with this one right here. Dave, why do you think so many big corporations are quick to virtue signal over the current racial unrest? Do you think this has a net positive or negative effect for the company? Ken, that's a really fascinating question. I have no respect for the companies that are run at every issue. Here's what we're doing. I have total respect for companies that do it. Just do it. They don't have any particular agenda for it. They find great women to lead divisions or lead the whole company. They find great Asian, Hispanic, Black men or women to lead organizations. I would be embarrassed, frankly, to be sitting here saying, well, we here at the ABC company really haven't done anything about the thinking through any of these issues until today. I'm so glad that people burned up our town so that I could become more woke, because I wasn't woke before. So here's what we're doing. We're going to have a whole lot of meetings and really not do anything, but we're all going to feel really good about ourselves. Thanks. I mean, are people really that stupid? But I understand in our world we have to do the pretend I care thing. You know what caring is? Caring is taking care of people that are down and out, no matter what gender or color they are. Not putting on a sign that says, we take care of people, whether they're men or women, young or old. And I find that offensive, to be very frank. I don't want to do business with a company, so I don't think I'm alone. The phony people bother me a lot. They really do. I don't like it. I hate politicians that talk out of both sides. I hate them. Just bothers me a lot. And I know they have to, they're free to change their mind. They are. But when you're so radically opposed to something like Schumer does, and then turn around and he goes absolutely ballistic about justice and running a smear campaign against the people in order to affect a presidential election, right after running one rush of thing after the other for 3 years. Unbelievable. I find that offensive, as I do with corporations that are trying to buy woke people's love by pretend caring. I want people that really do the job. So thank you for that. That's a really great point, question. I appreciate that, Ken. So that's just my opinion, and we're happy to hear from you if you have a different opinion. Although, don't try to call today. All right, good morning, Dave. If this fits in the morning program, that's great. If not, I guess I'm going to have to. We'll find out. Whatever suits you, your intended subject matters for today, etc. Here it is. Would you please talk about the history of the New York Stock Exchange and how trading has evolved over the years? How has it changed in the last 20, 30, 40 years or more? You occasionally touch on this subject, but it would be interesting to hear more about how trading has changed over time, up to and including computer trading, free trades, etc. Don, that's a fascinating question. Wow. And I'm going to go ahead and get a little more history on this, and I'm going to table this one because it's a very big question, and I'm fascinated to learn a little bit more. Not just what I know, but I want to know exactly when computer trading kicked in. I know a lot because, well, I'm old, right? I've been around since 1980 in this industry, and I can assure you a lot has changed. But I think I'd like to research that just a little bit more because it's such a great question. So, Don, I will do that some real justice probably next week, okay? So thank you for that. All right, and if you have a question, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. I ran a little long in the monologue this hour, so I've got to catch up here with a Fox News break. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And, of course, once again, phones are down. No phone calls today. Your emails, dave@petsofinancial.net. So, and also, hey, I just want to point this out, too. You can reach us anytime, either at that or go to petsofinancial.com. That is got articles, calculators. We've got our podcast, and it's usually there by next Tuesday of the week. If you miss something and you want to catch it, then feel free to. Okay. And I'm always fascinated. And for those of you who are listening out there on a podcast and are somewhere remote, We'd love to hear how did you hear about us, because we get, you know, the Google Analytics tell us that there's people in Russia listening, that there's people in Saudi Arabia is very interesting. So if that's you, I'd really like to find out. You must be stationed there or what have you. I don't know, but anyway, just find it very fascinating when we look at some of the interesting places, and especially now. We used to think it was people on vacation or something. No, nobody's traveling, right? No international traveling. So please check it out over there and leave us your thoughts as well. We would love to hear from you. Speaking of international, let's take another question that's headed this way, right? International investing. Hi, Dave. Do you recommend investing in international stocks through mutual funds? Great point there. In addition to domestic U.S. stocks. The reason I ask is that international stocks haven't shown much growth as compared to U.S. over the past 10 years. Is this due to the U.S. outperformance or international underperformance, or perhaps a combination of both? It seems the last 10 years were great for the world's economy, but international investing just didn't keep up with the overall growth. Thanks, Frank. Frank, this is a whole group of interesting questions, so I'm going to run with this probably for this whole segment. First of all, you're quite right, and I want to get the question answered specifically and then comment. The first thing is, you do want to do this not with individual stocks. Too much to know, too much to go wrong. Rule of law is different. I don't have any problem with rule of law throughout Europe and things like that, but you also will have additional expenses for ADR fees, okay? ADR is a translation for American Depository Receipts, for the bank that holds those shares of some foreign stock, okay? And so I agree with you, holding through the mutual funds. One-off, I'm okay with. There's no problem. ASML, for example, as a semiconductor manufacturer, is a world killer, a category killer, okay, in the Netherlands, all right? I mention it because it's a stock I own, but it's very aggressive. It's not for everybody, and you have to understand that it's better to own those kind of stocks through a mutual fund, okay? Now, you can do individually, but I would prefer to see it in a mutual fund. Keep those costs low as whenever possible, okay? Now, you're quite right. Now, here's where I want to start really diving into this on international versus U.S. I don't want to make a political statement. This is an economic statement, okay? So bear with me on this. It's the underperformance predominantly of Europe. European socialism, tax rates, and, in fact, all of the regulation that they have has caused them to underperform very, very dramatically. It's been a terrible underperformance for Europe. For so long, those companies have been burdened with employment rules and, again, all of the other regulation that they can't compete. They simply can't. And whether it's coming from Asia or U.S., they can't compete. So when we talk about global, we have to define it a little bit better, right? I have a problem with Asia because of rule of law. And anything China's involved in, I can't invest in, I won't invest in, because you're trusting bad people. I would even go so far as say evil people. They want to rule the world at any cost. They kill their political enemies. I don't think that's just like politics, or they have a different view of the world. I think that's evil. And I don't, this is not a moral statement. It's a, why would I put money in something I don't, that they make up the financials, I have no idea what I'm buying, or when they might just take it away, because they do that. So I don't believe you can invest in anything China, which is very big. And so I'm a little concerned when I say Asia. But if you're talking about South Korea, not an issue. Not an issue. So, again, international funds, fine. But I prefer those that are very, very, very cautious on owning state-owned companies and China companies. Very little or none in those portfolios. So I'd look for that. So back to the economics. If we have a situation where we turn that direction, okay, Europe has been trying to come out of decades of decay, right? I mean, this is the Europe is the greatest outdoor museum. They don't do anything. They come up with almost nothing. So are there pockets of pharmaceuticals and things? Of course, but very, very few. So generally speaking, I would have to say we're still in the avoid that. If we continue to move to more regulation, higher taxes, more Europe as they're pulling out, we may change our mind. And if you are going to invest overseas, and you should with some in a mutual fund, some, I would focus on the growth side. Those companies that are real innovators, no matter where they're located, whether it's Israel, Norway, Germany, there are some tech companies in those places that really are innovative and creative. I would focus on international growth rather than value, because I know we're reassessing what value and growth are, but at the same time, it's just a very, very weak sector full of energy companies that look like dinosaurs to me. Yes, I know. They've done really well over the last couple of months after losing, 90% of their value. Great. That's still a losing bet. But, and maybe some of them for a trade, or they're better than owning bonds to own Chevron or Exxon and get the dividend. Those are the kind of things. I get it. But we have to be really careful with that. So generally speaking, I just don't think you want to be investing in things that we're hoping are so cheap that it offsets the fact that they're really not in a growing business or a growing sector, okay? So be very careful there, Frank. Frank, great question. Lots and lots of things to do with economics, not politics. I know it kind of circles back to politics, but I want people to think of the bigger picture, which is the economics of those politics. Sounding good and having a bunch of unemployed people is not caring. It is not. It may be a good idea for a high school or college age kid to be real woke, because that's how you get a chick, but it's really stupid. Putting a bunch of rules around human behavior makes sure we don't have freedom, we don't have creativity, we don't have innovation, and then taxing the snot out of it to be more woke is stupid. It enslaves more people. More people. So watch what they do. Watch what their economics are. That's why Europe has been underperforming for so long. And someday maybe it'll be so cheap relative to the real category killers in the world. But let me digress further. This is, to me, the perfect portfolio, okay? The perfect portfolio. The highest quality companies. Owned. Not traded. Owned. When's the last time you should have traded Apple? Never. Never. Never, ever, ever. Amazon. Never. If you got out because of this and that report back 8 years ago, you never would have got back in 8 years ago minus 2 weeks when it hit bottom and it took off again. Never to be seeing that number again. Google, pick another category. Sometimes they have problems. I'm going to pick on Boeing. One of my bad choices over the last couple of years. Super high quality company. Wow. How about a 1-2 punch? Airplanes fall out of the sky and then a virus? Nobody flies anymore? Whew. See, it's not without risk. But the preeminent airplane manufacturer in the world is a high quality company. High quality company. All right. Remember, we do not have a phone right now, so just give us a call, Dave at Petso Financial. Give us a call. So give us a call anyway. We don't have a phone, but give us a call. All right. Our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. We need to take our final break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, sorry about the phones today. That's all right. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I have always loved doing live. Okay, I didn't love it like for the first year because it's scary. But I love live. It's so good. I mean, whether it's TV and, you know, your microphone's off or you can't find the word you're trying to do. I mean, it's there, you know, it's real, I guess, is the way to say it. So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and check. Let's go to their emails, and it's dave@petzofinancial.net, and it's there all the time, 24/7. There you go. But I don't answer even every day over the weekend, so just know that. I need downtime, too. I broke your rule, and I checked my account balance. Terry, stop it. Oh, my gosh. Over the last year, I'm only up $9,000 plus. What market problems? Thank you. Erica and all. The affable idiot. You're great, Terry. Thank you. That's fun. Isn't that crazy? When we put it in a context of short-term versus other short-term, I mean, isn't a year short-term, for crying out loud? And to actually know that you're actually ahead from a year ago. What pandemic? That's an interesting point. Fascinating. Thank you, Terry, for that point. I love it. Okay, let's go to, we've got RDLNBL. Okay. I was wondering what your advice would be for short-term investing at this time. The amount would be around $200,000 for 1 to 2 years. Wow, that's a great question. Okay. It always depends on your level of risk. If you need to guarantee all of that $200,000 is there, you can only go short term. Now, I wouldn't tie it up for 2 years. There's just no reason to do that, because you're not going to get any more than you can get in short term trading vehicles, which are exchange traded funds. And they're going to get you close to 2% right now. And they have very short duration, so I wouldn't feel at risk with them. But if you're able to take some risk, there are some higher dividend paying things that are more, you know, more on the moderate risk, but they do float around with the market a little bit, that maybe you want to put a percentage there. So it depends how much you have to have. If you need every dime of it, then that's a problem. If you're willing to say, I have 50,000 of it, I could have that down a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, but if I put 200 in and I got back 200 with interest, is all I got back because the interest was eaten up on the other piece, if you can live with that, I think that's a possibility of splitting it up just a little bit. But basically, there are lots of exchange traded funds out there that are paying in that 2% range, and their duration, this is a big word for how much volatility based on interest rates there is, okay, is very, very short. Meaning if interest rates go up, you're not going to lose your bundle, okay? And they're all high quality, not all, sorry, rephrase. The top dogs in that range I'm talking about do not deal with high yield debt that can and sometimes does go down. Okay? All right. Jim has phones down. This is your favorite support group. Saturdays and I would call in, but apparently there's a problem with your phone service. For a very long time now, I've witnessed several problems with your station. I am wondering if your Kevin's or whatever tech support is duct tape. A talk radio station whose phones won't work. Has Kevin paid the phone bill? Ha! Jim, guess what? Kevin is in there because he works every single day. And he does. He really does. So I'm not just supporting Kevin on this. I will tell you, that's a hard-working son of a gun. That is a tech problem. And believe it or not, they finally have a new bunch of tech gear here. So I really believe it's just a tech thing. But yeah, in the past, I've been doing this for a long time, 30-plus years. It was duct tape. And Lee Eichelberger was the only one that knew how to fix the duct tape 50-year-old equipment. When he left, they needed to get new equipment. All right. Thanks, Jim. And let's go one more. I think we got time for one more. Craig Campbell. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry about the last name, Craig. It really isn't. It's Campbell Soup. I'm just joking. We are now ditching stocks and companies that fund things contrary to our Christian values. Verizon, Allstate, and others directly support Planned Parenthood. I don't need products or services that are going to terminate human life. Places like Second Vote, Family Council, and so on, only to have to fund those things that you abhor. Okay, Craig, you know what? I think that's totally fair and totally reasonable. People can invest with their hearts. They do it all the time. And I know in this woke world, doing that means that you're green everything. It doesn't mean you're also worried about unborn children, our Constitution, things like that. I get it. and people are fed up of being in that silent majority. You're not alone. That's for sure. That's for sure. So, yes, you can. But here's the thing I want to throw in on that, okay? Verizon doesn't care if you own the stock. Philip Morris doesn't care if you don't like smoking. They haven't raised money in the capital markets other than bonds for decades. Invest and give to your causes directly, and don't worry about it. It's the best I can tell you. Everybody have a great weekend. God bless, and thanks for tuning in.